Thanks for having me.
Give us a little more detail on what probiotics are, because as you write, it's not just one type of bacteria.
No, it's sort of a general term for what I think of as, you know, gut health from bacteria. And it's become a really interesting, exciting field in public health, which means it's kind of confusing, really within the last 5, 6, 7 years. It's become obvious to researchers how important it is, the population of bacteria that live inside our stomach and intestines, how important it is, what it does. This is hundreds of different, I guess species is the right word, species of bacteria that live in there that do various things. Some of them don't do anything. Some of them, you know, grab certain nutrients out and help digest it. Some of them help pass along food. And some of them, you know, fight with each other. It's an entire little, you know, jungle, if you want, living in your gut.
And are these the same things as the live cultures that exist in foods like yogurt?
Sort of. And that's really where a lot of the uncertainty is. And that's a function of research. I mean, research is relatively new in this field. And so there's a lot of untested claims. Probiotics is not a drug, as I was told by one of the two dietitians who will be on our panel Wednesday. Killarney's at 6 p.m. In Nashua, as always, free. So it's not a drug, so it's not regulated by the Food and Drug Administration like that. It's sort of considered a nutraceutical, meaning it's sort of a health-giving food. Regulations are much, much, much looser, and so there's a lot of sort of vague claims and hand-waving, so you need to be careful. It's not at all clear, for example, that having a good bacteria in your yogurt, what it will do, whether it will do much, if anything. I mean, I've heard some people say, you know, eating a probiotic bacteria is like, you know, dropping 3 monkeys into a jungle and expecting them to populate everything. And it doesn't necessarily work that way. And a lot of this stuff is designed to be, shall we say, evacuated from your system rather quickly. So particularly laymen, we have this sort of vague idea that if you eat one good bug, it'll turn into a whole bunch of good bugs in your stomach. And that's not necessarily the case.
But if you did have a whole bunch of those good bugs, so to speak, it would help pass things through your system, possibly.
How many different euphemisms can we use here? Yes, it could help do a lot of things. As you mentioned in your intro very quickly, there is evidence that your gut bacteria improves your oral health, your teeth and gums. It might improve allergies of all things. I'm not quite sure how that works. Skin health is one area that it's been related to. So it's not just, you know, irritable bowel syndrome. And this is why it has become such a hot field. You may have heard of fecal transplants, which is a legitimate and really important and exciting field right now. So for people who have a certain very specific bacterial problems in their gut, you basically implant the feces from somebody else into their gut, and that feces carries in all the bacteria mixed from the other people and repopulates the necessary bacteria in the patient's gut. And so they can now start digesting and they don't have, you know, debilitating, really life-threatening diarrhea, things like that. That is being done around the country. And it is, as I said, legitimate, but there are some questions that are cropping up, which is a reflection of the fact how much we don't know about gut bacteria. I've seen reports of people who, after they have this surgery done, it solves the medical problem, but it has these weird consequences, side effects, one of which is there's a person who has reported enormous weight gain, who was always a thin person. She gained enormous amounts of weight after this happened. She can't get it off. Apparently her donor was not a small person. So apparently there's some connection between whatever bacteria were in the donor's feces and weight gain, which is kind of surprising and interesting.
One of the things about this fecal transplant surgery is that it's possible that the fecal matter that is transferred or transplanted could be rejected.
In the sense of the bacteria in it would just be quickly flushed out of your system and not do anything. Or it might interact in ways we don't understand with existing bacteria. It's extremely complicated. It's an entire ecosystem, literally an ecosystem. And it, as we all know, ecosystems can be really complicated. By the way, I do not know of fecal transplant surgery being done at the moment anywhere in New Hampshire. If anybody knows of it, I'd love to hear about it.
All right, David. Well, thank you very much for saving your least public radio-friendly jokes about this for the Science Cafe on Wednesday. Really appreciate that.
Oh, I got a couple of good ones.
That's David Brooks, a columnist for the Nashua Telegraph and the man whose probiotics will never be rejected at graniteGeek.org.